Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wake up in the morning feeling like
Waterman is extremely well. She's very slippery.
You don't own me.
Okay, now the tough question.
Is this a try? Yes or no?
Just because I'm a woman.
Hello, tryhards. Welcome back.
Welcome. Hey, everybody.
How was your weekend?
I don't know why we say hello to everyone at the start and then we just crack on to just talking to each other. I mean, is it polite to do that?
I feel like it's polite. I'm not really sure that we could wait around for everyone to answer us. Publishing a 5-second podcast of us saying hello, waiting for people to get in touch. I'm not sure you've thought through the mechanics of how that could possibly work.
It's weird though, saying hello and then crack up. Although I will say it's similar to when I did some online stuff with the Youth Sport Trust, and it was the first time, actually before I did the Youth Sport Trust stuff, can you remember when I in lockdown and I did those online sessions for Gallagher when I was an ambassador with them, and I did what was weird is I could only see myself on my screen, and one of it was about like mental health, mental well-being, getting them active, doing stuff on a Friday afternoon, and on my screen all I could see was me, and one of the days I delivered chair yoga. It was the weirdest thing. It was like, hi everyone, like there's nothing on my screen apart from my face. You don't know, you're literally completely in the dark. Wait, about what, how anyone's
like in an exercise class where a trainer might be like, you're doing really well such and such, you couldn't even fake that, you just had to be like, you're doing really well, Nolly. But you've got a good stretch there, Danielle.
Honestly, it's really weird. I did some stuff for the Youth Sport Trust, and I've done other bits like webinars where you can't see everyone, and it's so odd delivering when you have no feedback. Like, no, even in Zoom, just like I've got feedback from you, you've just yawned down the screen at me. I know what I'm saying clearly. An exceptional start to this podcast.
I did a lecture a couple of months ago with the Cardiff Met broadcast studio.
I thought you were talking about me. Regularly lecture me.
You need it. Pity you don't come to the seminars.
Sorry, did you just swear?
or hand your essays in on time. But yeah, loads of them didn't turn their camera on, which I thought was quite ironic considering that they're on a broadcast journalism course. But c'est la vie. Speaking of which, I'm on a podcast this week. I think it's this week. I recorded it the other week with two of the students from that course, and the podcast is called She's Got a Goal in Mind.
Did they get you on from your footballing talents?
That and my basketball credentials.
It's not a goal.
What? I said basketball credentials.
Yeah, but I thought I said football because it's she's got a goal in mind.
I don't know.
In basketball, you get a hoop. You get a hoop, you get a shot.
Sorry, Dennis Rodman. All right, Scottie Pippen. You can be the Scottie Pippen to my Michael Jordan. It's funny, I'm wearing a Lakers t-shirt, even though they were Bulls players. Anyway, I am on their podcast this week, and they basically, it's quite highbrow. They speak to women who have like achieved things in sport and sports broadcast. And they ask
Did you talk about the fact that you're in line to be selected for my testimonial? Is that why?
I did actually mention that on there. I'm pretty confident I did. But I basically didn't prepare for it very well in that I didn't listen to their previous podcast that they'd done. And at the end, they ask you three questions. One was, who would be your dream dinner party guests? Now, I've got no doubt in my mind the kind of like guests, like Catherine Helev had been on there the other week. Lauren Jenkins has been on there. Like, you know, these are girls who are friends of mine who I respect immensely. And I've got no doubt that they would have said things like, oh, Nelson Mandela or, you know, Barack Obama. And I was like, Chris Evans, who plays Captain America in the Marvel movies. Does he fit?
Who else did you say?
Just him. I said it one-on-one and I was going to make my spicy sausage pasta for him.
Wow, that's an intense dinner party. I mean, is it a dinner party or is it a date?
It's very much I hope Chris knows it's a date. Because
welcome to the dinner party of just me and you.
It's just me and you, babe. Yeah. I feel like why, you know, why muddy the waters? Why introduce other people into it? It could just be me and him staring across the table at each other.
Tell you what, you have got an intense stare as well. Those eyes. We haven't spoken much about your eyes recently.
They're very steamy.
Yeah, I did enjoy the video you just sent me. I wish I could put it on social media, but I feel like our friendship might take a turn to the rocks. Anyway, shall we move on?
Because I'm a guest on that podcast this week, and I know that you are guesting on a podcast this week as well.
Oh, nice link. Is this what you did on your media training with the students? It's not a podcast, actually. It's a webinar that people can join in. Yeah. I mean, when I say join in, I'm not quite sure whether you can come and be on the panel as well, but should be a really cool evening with Looseheads, the charity. It's Mental Health Awareness Week, and they are doing a webinar event hosted by the one and only Craig Doyle. Amber Reid and I... Doyle. And Sean Edwards,
wow,
who is one of the founder members of the charity. He's going to be on there. So, yeah, should be good fun. And it's free to sign up. So make sure, well, maybe you could join in, support me. Maybe you won't. But
is it Wednesday? Going out, soz. Have I ever told you about Sean Edwards doing, he was a guest for a Sky show and I was... the award in the studio in the gallery for it, so I was like talking to him the whole way through, like analyzing the game, like building him analysis to talk about, like really into it. And then I went in the studio afterwards just to like, because he was coaching Wales at the time, and you know, I thought it'd be friendly and go in, and I walked in and he thought I was the makeup girl and he asked me if I had any baby wipes. Hey, you got any baby wipes? I was like, no. Can you go and get me some? I was like, why would I go and get you some? Are you not makeup? Do I look like I'm the makeup person?
Well, it was obviously because you looked so pristine. I mean, I saw how you were with Lauren, the makeup lady, during the HSBC doc. I mean, that makeup chat was pretty serious. I mean, there was some intense brand chat techniques. Well, yes.
If Charlotte Tilbury wants to swoop in and sponsor this podcast, I could talk about it on here as well.
She's not going to get any airtime until she does, though.
Yeah. Or La Roche-Posay. We're open to offers, guys. We're open to offers.
Roche-Posay or Ferrero Rocher?
La Roche-Posay. I am not rubbing hazelnut on my face.
I can think of worse. Yeah, I can think of nicer chocolates.
Is that your secret? Do you rub nuts on your face? Is that how you keep yourself looking so fresh? We'll go into that another time. I heard it's good for your hair, but anyway, why don't we talk about some rugby?
I'd love to talk about rugby. I mean, there is so much going on. And you know what? Before
Danielle?
We get started,
yeah,
a very, very good friend of mine from rugby.
Oh,
you've really tickled me. Is Fiona Pocock, and she is just an absolute delightful human. Played England 15s, had the most horrendous experience with injuries, but battled her way back. And and now having retired from playing, she has set up a company that is delivering resources for strength and conditioning for women's rugby players. It's absolutely, honestly, it's absolutely awesome. She's always did PT and strength conditioning and stuff. And I think because she went through so much as an individual, she knew how much she'd smashed her knee apart and then had shoulder surgery and all sorts of things. So she gets it. And we spoke the other day and we talked about it all. And actually, quite often what happens in women's rugby is if you're a good athlete, you accelerate through, you know, in the leagues, and which is great, but you don't necessarily then have the S&C to create like robustness around you because it's multi-directional collision. And so she's doing stuff around that in a space with a website, and you can have a little look. It's called, her Instagram is at @feepo_HQ, which is FEEPO_HQ. So honestly, check it out. It's really, thinking, really great.
Like, maybe she could do like the S&C provision for testimonial because they should be playing.
So mate, you've done one boot camp. You're going to be absolutely flying.
Mate, like, not just that, a boot camp that was led by a former international rugby player. So, you know, like, Pross has got my back. Maybe, like, I'll invite her down. She can help me out with some, you know, my own personal conditioning stuff. Not that I'll need it because I'm in great condition. Heather Fisher, St George's Park this weekend.
Heather Fisher? Where's Heather Fisher come into this?
I said Fish is probably going to play, so she won't do our S&C.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
Did you ever think about that? Who did you think was going to play in the back row in my team that I play 10 in?
Yeah, no, to be fair, I'd have Heather Fisher in there. Oh, I'm just so excited for the girls and boys to finally pull on a Team GB strip of all of the training that they've been doing, everything that they have gone through. And there's only so much you can continually play against someone like Fisher in team training.
It's a real, you just look at it and you think, poor Jazz Joyce, there's a real David and Goliath kind of spaghetti versus meatball going on there.
You know what though, like, Jazz is unbelievable in contact. She's just like a little pinball. She just like pings around everywhere. I'm just so excited, and having seen the stuff on Instagram, I haven't spoken to any of them yet, but yeah, I think it's going to be class. And for the men, you've got Ireland and USA, and for the women, there's France and Ireland. So some really decent opposition for them. And I think I'm pretty sure I remember seeing one of the first team, like GB7's Mission Possible and videos, and they talked about the announcement of the squads being in June, so players will find out who the shortened squad is. So this has got to be a massive opportunity for them all. There's a few players with niggles and stuff, but
we're talking about Team GB here, but this weekend proves a really good opportunity for both the Irish in the men's and the French in the women's, because they've got a repechage in a matter of weeks down in Monaco. I'll tell you what, get me on a yacht. I would absolutely, anyone wants to send me down there, I am so available for a couple of days.
To do what?
Whatever you want. Honestly, whatever you
want. What would be the one thing that you would have to really question whether you go? Like, they went, right, all expenses, trip paid, but when you get here, you've got to do this. What would it be that would actually go, oh, you know what, I'm not doing that. I can't. I've got to turn down a trip to Monaco.
Anything that involved like any kind of heavy cardio. LJ, are you available? Like, it's not the kind of stuff you normally do, but we need someone to be a line runner, and basically that's someone who runs up and down with a microphone. And that, I look at, like, over the years I've watched like teenagers doing that and I think that's my worst nightmare. Like, I haven't got the engine for it. I have not got the engine for it.
I thought you were talking about an assistant referee called a line runner. It's like
So I saw Claire Daniels on Saturday when I was at Worcester. So if she wants any help, you know, I'm not saying that I could like referee a game or even like run the line, but I could, I reckon sighting, you know, TMO, I'd be great. Paddy, hit me up.
How could you, you're frowning at the screen now. I mean, would you be able to see?
I put my glasses on because they got wet when I went for my evening walk, and because I use soap to keep my eyebrows in place, when it rained, the soap like the water dissolved the soap and it went in my eyes. That's why my eyes are so pink.
What type of soap do you put in there? Is it like the pump one, the liquid one, or is it like
liquid hand soap in my eyebrows? What are you on? I use Pears soap, so a clear bar of soap, and I spray makeup fix on it, and then I rub my spoolie in it, and then I make my brows.
You rub a spoon in it?
A spoolie.
What's a spoolie?
You know, like a mascara wand?
Yeah.
That's a spoolie.
It really is the world. Every day is a school day. I can't believe you go through all of that for your eyebrows.
You just got to think how unfair it is, the stereotypes about like women's rugby players and like not knowing about like makeup and stuff, because you, my friend, are all over it.
I'm called a yellow raisin for a reason. Right. Should we talk about this repechage? Because apart from you doing cardio, there is some pretty tasty matchups. And actually, as you pointed
really
out,
important to remember. Really important to remember. So basically, Nolly and I were talking about the repechage earlier on, because obviously this all we talk about is rugby. And I turned around to Nolly and said, very important to remember that there are two women's teams going through. And now she's made fun of me for saying, oh, it's really important to remember. It is really important to remember, because these two repechage finals days are not created equally. There are two pools for the men's, pool A and pool B, but in the women's there are three a la World Cup, and there will be two qualifiers. Are they going to play a final, or is it just the two winners of the semi-finals?
They surely have got to get a winner.
Everyone's a winner. Rugby is the winner.
I'm looking at the teams now. Pool A, Russia, Argentina, Mexico, Samoa. Pool B, Papua New Guinea, Kazakhstan, Jamaica, Tunisia. Pool C, France, Hong Kong, Colombia, Madagascar. Who knew that all of those countries had qualified into an Olympic repechage? How cool is that from the women's perspective? Just to show how global the sevens game is. It's unbelievable. I can't remember a name. This is going to be really frustrating, but I'm pretty sure it was when we were over in Sydney. Papua New Guinea were there, and they had a player who on our paper was maybe 33. I think by all accounts, she was a little bit older than that, but absolutely burned Michaela Blyde in one of their pool games. Am I right in saying it was Sydney?
I think it was. Was it Rima? Was it her name Rima?
I'm not quite sure. We'll have to look it up, but it was unbelievable try. She even had the audacity to flick out her gum shield in her mouth and run with the gum shield half hanging out, and then did a forward roll to finish. It was pretty impressive, to be fair. But I mean, looking at those, there'll be some pretty good mix-ups. I think you kind of can't look very much further than it being a Russia-France qualification through, given that those are the two teams on the World Series.
Good point. Mexico were a guest team in Canada when I was there a couple of years ago, and they had really nice stadium jackets. I'm not sure that's going to get them to an Olympics, but I just thought I'd add that in. What else have I got to say about these teams? Jamaica, I'm still upset about losing my Jamaica Sevens hat when we were in Hong Kong. I think about it every few days.
Kazakhstan, I've actually played a few times in 15. They were in the 2006 and 2010 World Cup. I came off the bench in the 2010 World Cup, and Waterman had a run out at scrum half again. And I genuinely hadn't played scrum half for probably, a long time, a decent amount of time. And I remember doing passing in the warm-up and being like, oh God, like couldn't even bend down. I was like, come on, boy. But we played in a lovely purple strip that game. Nice fact. Nice fact, when we played Kazakhstan in the 2010 World Cup, Claire Purdy was the England captain, which was awesome. Oh, there we go.
I have never played against Kazakhstan, but we've got a family from there. And her dad got killed by the KGB.
Yeah. Right, okay, moving on.
Madagascar, my friend Josh, who I used to work with at Sky, we were in the office once, and he said, what's that film about all the animals that go to Madagascar?
Am I, is it a question or?
Yeah, the film is called Madagascar.
Oh, lost on me. Never seen it. Actually, just thinking, Hong Kong. One person that runs rugby in Hong Kong who is just absolutely fab bloody tastic is Joe Hull, and I'm super excited to see how they get on. Yeah, so it's good to see how they go. I think, you know, she's really struggled in terms of like just, I suppose, getting the opportunities for the girls to play, and I know that there's loads of like support have gone into them, so it's good to see that they're in pool C there. I think Colombia were very well, they actually went to the 2016 Olympic Games. Could we play them? No, I don't think so. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how pool C goes.
And in the men's, I think they're probably the standout favourites there. I don't know. Ireland, France.
Samoa on their day. Tonga on their day.
Tonga on their day.
Yeah. Uganda have actually turned up at a couple of tournaments of the World Series and actually carved up a bit. And Jamaica have got some pretty decent athletes in their squad. So yeah.
At the end of the day, peace be the journey as far as the Jamaican boys are concerned.
Anyway, it is going to be really interesting. It is going to be really interesting with the men's, because it is literally a shootout, and that is absolutely brutal. And the one thing that any team has got over everyone else, the Irish, the amount they, I think they lost in two finals, am I right, qualification into the World Series. Then they won last year and got, or 2 years ago, and got qualification onto the World Series. Absolutely smashed it. So if there's any players that understand that pressure game more than anyone, it's got to be the Irish, though the French have got some outstanding players.
I think a couple of those Sevens boys have gone to 15s programmes in the provinces. And Harry McNulty, friend of the pod, is over with the Giltinis in LA.
Oh, yeah, of course.
In the MLR. He hasn't been playing because he has broken his hand. If you follow him on Instagram, he's obviously a very active Instagrammer. And he's just had his cast taken off. So
maybe you could... did you slide into his DMs talking about casts and stuff with your carpal tunnel? And no.
The carpal tunnel is still very fresh in my memory. And, you know... at the end of the day, I won't be going to the Olympics because of it. So you bringing it up like this is, you know, unsympathetic.
Well, I tell you what, you will be going to an amazing Sevens event.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This summer. So everybody, big, big announcement. We are hoping to get the Italian Cavaliers 7 squad over for the Richmond Athletic Ground summer social event. I am so excited. It's going to be awesome. And actually, having spoken to Rob, one of the organisers, they've had a massively tough time because They were hoping to run it, obviously, last year. It got cancelled. It got delayed. And they're really desperate to get it going. It's on August the 14th. And one thing I didn't know is that they have had women's teams there since 2010. I've never played in the tournament because it always clashed with an international. So after losing the opportunity to play in invitational sides after some bad behaviour from the internationals. I haven't been able to play, but they are really looking to have more women's teams involved. So friends of the pod, reach out. They've got an elite section all the way down to ultra social. Hopefully LJ and I will be there with the Cavaliers, but it's a great opportunity because considering how little rugby everyone has played, why not enter into a tournament like that? It's one day, there's loads going on. I think there's netball, CrossFit, all sorts of other things. And then they've got a big party in the evening.
I honestly have just had like the worst wave of beer fear from, whether it would have been 2011 or 2012, I reckon it must have been. And that was the first time, 2012, I went. And, oh God.
So you've been?
Yeah, I've been a couple of times.
Oh, you kept that quiet, haven't you, right?
Let's just hope let's hope no one leaves any kiss and tell reviews on our podcast. Please do.
I've got loads of shout outs. I've given one to Fee, I've given one to the social, and some are social. But I actually have a really cool shout out for a challenge that's being done. There's not many things that I think, I think being an athlete and being quite competitive, I'm like, you
former
know what?
Athlete. Former athlete.
Very, very much former ex-retired. Game over. Shed collapse. I always think, oh, that looks good. Yeah, I reckon I could do that. Bit of training, I reckon. This challenge, no. So Sven Glore, our absolutely crazy Australian, very professional, obviously, legend from HSBC, did you know that he used to be a paddler, an international paddler?
What do you mean a paddler? It's a paddler.
Well, in a kayak, canoe, like a paddle thing. He lived in Hawaii for a while.
Wow.
And did it. Yeah, like the surf. It's
like a
I don't know what they're called. I don't know what they're called. There's obviously a certain name and he's going to be really frustrated that I don't know. But he used to do that, so he's super into it. Anyway, we were chatting the other day and he told me about this challenge. And it's called the Pacific Race. And apparently it's 2,700 miles. And it's rowing from San Francisco to Hawaii, which sounds that sounds all right. However, the oceans that they do it continually for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 2 hours rowing, 2 hours resting, continually. That's it. And they go through parts of the ocean that is 4,000 meters deep. That I can't get my head around. And also
I don't like it when my feet can't touch the bottom in a swim.
But they've got waves apparently of up to 40 feet that they've got to row through. Now I don't understand. I'm like, how does it not do
and
like
sharks in that ocean?
So and they do it in a team of four. So there's four and, ladies.
That's the humpback whales migration pattern up that Pacific coast.
You're so random. Anyway, apparently only two women's teams have ever done it before, and these ladies have got the best name, and they're doing fundraising, they're doing all sorts of stuff, but they're called Ocean Sheroes, like she rows and heroes. I literally love it a little bit too much.
If we enter next year, should we be the Rojos?
We need two more mates. I don't think we've got anyone. Who would we bring into the boat?
Chef.
Yeah, Fisher, she'd do the hard work. You know who I'd also bring in? I reckon...
We want people with long levers. We need someone with long... Who'd be good with long levers?
I was going to say Fleeto, but then we'd literally be a very, very short team that would take probably for every one of our strokes. Well, with everyone normal stroke, we'd probably take about 10 of ours.
And also they literally wear bras and budgies to do this. I ain't sitting in a four-man boat with either of those two.
Hey, Why am I not in that?
As we said, former athlete.
Anyway, shall I get to the point?
It's the element. Can you imagine how raisiny you'd be by the time we get to Hawaii?
Yeah, the sleep, it would be my worst nightmare. Sleep deprivation, rowing, which I'm terrible at because I hate gripping anything because I've got really rubbish thumbs, and ridiculous heat. Don't laugh at me, Laura Jane.
It's the sleeping thing that I would really struggle with. I like 8 hours sleep a night, and that would just finish me off.
Anyway, I talk through what they're actually doing? No, I've just introduced it. What's actually really cool, apart from their super amazing name, is they are raising money for a charity that they have, which is the Seabin Project. And I don't know if you've ever seen Seabins. They're machines that go along the top of the water and basically suck up loads of plastic and like microplastics and stuff. Like they're amazing. Like they're absolutely amazing. And they really, anyone that's seen Seaspiracy, obviously there's a lot going on in our world, but everyone knows about the damage, but these sea bins are class. And so they're raising money for their charity that looks after them, and they're aiming to get £60,000. So you can either donate directly for the challenge for the women that are doing it, because they're going for 2 Guinness World Records, which obviously we love a Guinness World Record. Nice. Or you can actually do the 270 challenge, which is team of 4, 270 miles and raise £270.
What, do it anyway or rowing it?
No, you can row it if you want. Absolutely anyway. So you could paddleboard, you could skateboard, you could cycle. I mean, I'm listing off all the things that we might do.
Okay, I've done 13.94 kilometres today. Chalk it up. I couldn't row it. Have you ever done Stephen Ferris's rowing challenge that he does?
No, I hate rowers. Like, absolutely terrible. Rocky. Rocky loves rowing at the moment. Really? Rocky Clark, she would be in our team. But anyway, teams need to be done by the 17th of May. There's a hash. There's prizes for all sorts of things. The hashtag is hashtag OSR 27 to 170 challenge. Basically, just look at Ocean. She
will retweet it on TryHard. I'm probably just going to donate to the She Rows. I'm not going to do 270 miles on a rower because.
Yeah, but you could do it in teams of 4. Maybe we can, but watch this space.
We haven't got a rower. We've got a staff.
You've got 50 days to do it as well. So it doesn't have to be in one go.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's going to take them 50 days, Pam. But you know, anyway, I just thought it was brilliant. But it's something that I'd never do.
Okay, I want to give a shout out to something I'm really excited for this week. And excited feels like a weird emotion to say about it. But Jo Mahler's made a documentary for Sky TV called Big Boys Don't Cry. It comes out on Wednesday. And it's just a really interesting journey through mental health. And he goes to like theatre improv. He does some cold water swimming, scaling heights, and talks about his journey with kind of emotional rawness. And I know that he this week has come out and said that the Lions need to take a kind of emotional well-being specialist with them on the tour for the boys. So I think Joe is somebody who is synonymous with being a laughter joker kind of guy, but the fact that he's the person standing up and teeing up this conversation, I think, is really important, and a huge amount of respect to him and his wife Daisy, who they've got 4 kids.
No, they've got 3 with one on the way. Is the one on the way been born now?
Well, I'm rounding it up to 4 because I know Daisy's incredibly pregnant.
You know what, I'm really excited as well, and I think, you know, it just shows that the loud extrovert people, you know, struggle too, and it and actually I'm having met Joe and seen him in action and seen what he's like when he's performing as a player at, you know, or media or whatever, and then actually when you meet him and chat to him, I think it's going to be a really, really brilliant insight into him. And he's so funny that I think it will be all approached with some humour as much as it is, like, got a really serious message.
Yeah. Another shout out we have to give is to the Prem 15s, who have announced today that the final will have fans.
Semi-finals will.
Okay.
Yeah, at the Stoop and at What's Saracens Grounds now? It's not Allianz. The Allianz Premier 15s at Saracens Grounds.
Is it the Watford Community Park or something?
I mean, that sounds like the skate park down the road, but we'll go with it. Saracens are playing Loughborough and Quins are playing Wasps. I'm really excited. I think there should be two decent games with four very good opposition.
and the final is at Kingscombe with fans, and we'll be live on BT Sport.
I know. It's going to be fab dabby dozy, especially because I now live in Gloucester, so can nip down the road.
Oh, I might come back.
I'll watch.
Who do you think is going to be in the final based on last week's performances?
Oh, you know what? So, for those that haven't seen, I got to commentate on the Wasps Bristol game, and there were some bloody believable tries from Waspies. There was no forward tries, and the Abby Dow, the superstar from the Six Nations, the match winning try scoring machine, didn't score one of the seven tries, which I think is hilarious. But they were unbelievable in attack, and it was so cool to be able to commentate. I think it was the first time I've done a women's commentary since I was with Sky Sports for an autumn international, which was very weird with England, not that long after I'd retired. So yeah, it was really cool to be back in the commentary box. But one thing they're going to have to tighten up is and make sure that they nail, like, some of the defence and the shots, those big carries from Bristol. They're always going to be up against it, given the players they've got injured compared to the ones that Wasps welcomed back. But it's the physical damage that Quins do up front. It's and at set piece, it's going to be so important. They've got an England front row. You know, they've got Vicky Cornborough, Amy Cocaine, Shauna Brown. Now, I believe that Wasps can withhold that, but then it's also what it takes out of them in set piece. Can they then deliver in defence? Yeah. Can they then deliver in dealing with that breakdown, that massive physicality? Because I think the backs, they will go toe-to-toe, which will be really exciting. So I think that's going to be a big call, but if there's going to be one year that they do it, I think Wasps on a pretty good trajectory at the moment.
I'm on Waspies. It was really funny on Saturday because, as we mentioned last
week... Was it funny or...?
No, it was funny. I was so I was doing score updates from Worcester Saracens. Nick Heath was at the Loughborough game. Ashley Wilmot was at DMP Quins. Nolly was, as she mentioned, at Wasps Bristol, and through the first half I kept in my ear hearing there's been a try whilst I stood there on the top of the gantry at Six Ways waiting for half an hour for a score in that game. It was miserable. And do you know what made me miserable is that Worcester were nilled by Saris but really didn't deserve it. They played so well in the first half especially, and it was really disappointing to see them come away with nothing, considering that there were so many kind of professional contracted England players in that Saracen setup, and then the Worcester girls are all amateurs. So a huge shout out to them, and I hope that they had a good socially distanced drink up after the game because they absolutely deserved it. And
was it a good game?
Yeah, it was good. It was as I say, it was disappointing for Worcester. You kind of felt it didn't feel like the scoreline was necessarily reflective of what the game had been in the first half. But Saris are just clinical when they need to be, and defensively we're very strong at the end. And
you know what? The Saracens Loughborough game is going to be really interesting because with all of the players back, Loughborough actually first ever game, and she scored a try, and player of the match went to Emma Wassell, the Scottish second row. So she's in there. I don't think Rachel Malcolm is, but the Scotland captain back row is back in time for the semi-final. I'm not quite sure. She's nursing an MCL injury at the moment from Six Nations, but I think if they've got all of their players and Saris have got all of their players, I think it's going to be a really decent matchup. And I think Saracens will probably edge it, but just given the physicality that they've got in their pack, like, that's where they really dominate most teams. But I think Loughborough looks looked pretty decent at the weekend. Emily Scarrett, obviously, producing some pretty decent tries.
Any other business this week on the pod?
Well, I watched an unbelievably exciting game between for the Gallagher Premiership, Quins v Wasps. Oh my God, it ended. sorry about that. Fajitas being cooked.
Crazy Italian chef.
Yeah, angry. 48-46, last play of the game. Marcus Smith went over to score. He was unbelievable all game. It was absolute heartbreak for Wasps. It was such a good game. I mean, not necessarily for the defensive coaches, given that there was that many scores, but it was weird because when you watched it, sometimes you're like, oh, the defense have absolutely butchered that. But actually, it was just amazing attack. So you kind of think, well, actually, you've got to credit the attack and how awesome, in particular, the halfback pairings were for both teams. Just how they raised the intensity, they pushed the game, they challenged, they showed running game, pass game, kicking game, all sorts of things. It was really cool. And amazingly, one of my most engaged with tweets was that I just wanted to see, I'd love to see Dan Robson and Marcus Smith as a duo for obviously to play together. Hint, hint, there's some summer stuff coming up. So many people enjoyed that tweet. I mean, I like really surprised, but yeah, there you go. And actually,
what was your
just
take
finishing
on the
Mike
Brown incident?
Oh, you know, it's really hard because I know Mike and I think he is a fantastic guy, and how his persona is on the field is just not him. And he gets the most, even if he didn't do anything, he gets so much grief. Yeah. And I think it's one of those instances that it wasn't intentional. I don't believe he meant to do that. I think he has tripped, but the problem is you in rugby, we have studs on our feet, and there are bodies on the floor, and you have to be careful. And sometimes things happen and you don't mean it. And I genuinely don't believe he means it. He meant it. But it got me thinking, actually, because it reminded me of in the Six Nations, well, sorry, the last friendly game, not in inverted friendly, because it was definitely not friendly, between France and England, when we only got to see 60 minutes. But Annery, the French number six, got yellow carded for standing on Poppy Cleal's face. Now, it was similar, when I say standing, Poppy Cleal had hold of her foot. Annery went to go. She didn't because Poppy held onto it. So she tripped back. And when she tripped back, she kicked her in the face.
Yeah.
Now, if you actually look at the video, does Tommy Taylor hold on to Mike Brown's foot? It looks like he could be. Yeah. Mike trips, he skips. Now, interestingly, in the France-England game, the TMO, I was fortunate, I have an Italian in the household, and he said that the Italian TMO had said in Italian, my recommendation is red to Annery for contact with the face or head, and yellow for Poppy Cleal because she was holding on the floor. Now, yeah, it was only a yellow card that was given to Annery, French player. And I suppose why I'm bringing this up is if you hold onto someone's leg, because of where your hands are and your arms are, you naturally are holding them close to the top part of your body. You're holding them close to your face. Now, as a player, you naturally kick out and you want to get away because you, and it's honestly the most frustrating, stupid, annoying, niggling thing that someone can do. So you get frustrated. So you pull away. Now, if you pull away and trip because they keep hold of you, your boots are going to land on them because that's just, you're not far from them. You're a step away from where their face is. So I suppose what I'm saying is it's not necessarily massive cheating or anything like that. But if it ends in someone having a card, then it needs to be looked at and it needs to be sanctioned because that's not okay. Now, I don't believe either of them meant to stand on either of their faces, and it was one of those incidents. You've got to be careful, and and I'm not saying that like people won't do it and have intent in the future or whatever, but I just feel like it's just I don't know, it just flagged to me that it's something that needs to be addressed. And when I say that, I'm talking about the person on the floor that's holding the boot, not the person that's tripping, because I think we've got that right, because I think it had to be a red card.
I think one thing that stuck out for me, kind of separate to the incident, but because of the incident, was that just a week previously, we had all made this big vow that we wouldn't go on social media as a mark of solidarity against trolls and stuff. Now, the abuse leveled at Mike on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening into Monday morning may not have been racially motivated. It may not have been misogynistic. But the nature of some of the things I saw tweeted and the language used and the words used, this is just a sport. It's just a game. And some of the things that I saw people say, and people that like I know, and people I like, and people who I follow, who generally I've got, you know, respect for, and I just think, God, you're disgusting. You make me feel sick. If I saw one person use the very atrocious swear word that nobody's mum likes to hear, I saw 50 people, 100 people use it, and it made me feel sick. That's gross. No need for it. You can call him a cheat. You can call him a dirty player. There's no need. There is no need to use language like that and level that at players. And it just made me think, you wouldn't say it to them in the street. You wouldn't say it to someone's face. You wouldn't say that to anyone's face. It's a disgusting word to use. It's a disgusting thing to say. And I just saw hundreds of tweets that just made me think, oh my God, this is...
What makes me cross is that a lot of people that are writing those things have got children, and they would never allow their child to call someone like, imagine if their child, like the behavior that they would, I'm sure, expect from their child at sport wouldn't be that they, if someone does something wrong, you get the right to accuse of that and talk about someone like that. Do you know what I mean?
Whether you've got a child or not, the thing that annoys me is that people will use this language and say these things, but in the next breath are talking about how our game, our sport of rugby, you know, is better than that. Our values in rugby. And I think, how on earth can you align these supposed values that we position ourselves with such superiority over football in this country, and yet you will willingly use words like that about somebody? That's what winds me up. And people need to take a step back and just have a little think about what they put out there, because
it's always the same though in terms of emotional response to all sorts of things. When sport is on, they target it at somebody, and whether their team is lost, or, you know, I'm sure there was probably loads of Wasps fans that went hard and were so angry about the whole situation with the result, then turned on to a Harlequins player or a Harlequins supporter because they lost the game, would then blame him. And it's just appalling.
But maybe that's what I can't understand, that these visceral reactions that people have. Like, sport is my life. Like, this is what I do in my social time, in my professional time. When Sam Warburton got sent off in the World Cup in 2011, I wasn't going to start calling people these disgusting things on social media. I wouldn't have said it to somebody in a pub. I wouldn't have said it to somebody's face. I wouldn't have put it on the internet. And this is where I'm like, it's just sport. How can you have such an over-the-top visceral reaction to something like this? Like, these people need to have a bit of a word with themselves. I feel like I'm going off on one now for the end of the podcast this week, but
yep, positive finish. Well,
positive.
I hope you enjoy the rest of the week. It's a big week in the Waterman household. Not in the Waterman household, but in the Waterman family. It's my big brother's 40th birthday, so I'm going to be enjoying a barbecue, hopefully not in the rain.
Fingers crossed.
Samuel Peter Waterman somehow has made it to, well, he hasn't made it yet, but he is nearly at his fourth decade, and I'm very, very excited. Third decade?
His fifth decade if he's 40.
Oh, don't give me started. Right, bye, tryhards.
Bye, tryhards.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.